بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, amongst the galaxy of Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, there are certain chosen, dedicated Anbiya of Allah who enjoyed superiority and preference over the other Anbiya. Today I would like to draw lessons from the life and certain challenges and tests that were faced by Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Ibrahim alayhi salam's level of Islam, his level of submission was so impressive to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared him as an imam unto mankind. Inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imama. O Ibrahim, I have declared you as an imam, not only unto your community or unto your people, but unto mankind, for all those who will come after you. They will look to you and to your life as an example and as a role model. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of certain challenges that Ibrahim alayhi salam faced during his lifetime. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to them in the Quran as kalimat. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. Allah says, and remember when the Rabb of Ibrahim tried and tested Ibrahim with certain commandments. Brothers, generally in the Arabic language, the subject in a sentence precedes the object. But here in this verse we find that the grammatical construction is reversed. So the object who is Ibrahim is mentioned before the subject who is the Rabb, who is Allah. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ. Ibrahim, who is the object, was deliberately mentioned before Rabb, before Allah, who is the subject. The scholars explain the reason for this. فالمقصود تشريف إبراهيم ولبيان الاهتمام به. The purpose of mentioning Ibrahim, who is the object, before Allah, who is the subject, was simply to honor Ibrahim alayhi salam and to highlight the lofty position that he had assumed before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Allah says that Allah tried and tested Ibrahim alayhi salam with certain kalimat, certain commandments, certain challenges. Now what were those certain commandments that Ibrahim alayhi salam was required to uphold, the commandments with which he was tested? Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma explains, فَالْكَلِمَاتَ الَّتِي ابْتَلَى اللَّهُ بِهِنَّ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِرَاقُ قَوْمِهِ فِي اللَّهِ. The very first challenge, the very first test that Ibrahim alayhi salam had to deal with was that he had to disassociate himself, distance himself from his own community, from his own people, after they failed to heed his invitation to Allah. Ya qawm, inni bari'un mimma tushrikun. إِنِّي وَجَّهْتُ وَجْهِيَ لِلَّذِي فَطَرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. So this was the first challenge. Ibrahim alayhi salam was left with no choice but to disconnect himself, to disassociate himself from even his own father. After exhausting all his efforts in trying to persuade them to turn to Allah, he realized that they were serving as an obstacle, they were serving as an impediment between him and his Allah. He had to disassociate from them. He had to disconnect himself from them in order to connect himself with Allah. Now my brother, perhaps there are certain worldly elements, certain worldly distractions, certain worldly pursuits and engagements that you have in your life that are preventing you from reaching Allah. Disconnect yourself. There are certain things, perhaps there are more than one. And that is what's holding you back. Ibrahim a.s. realized that my community, they are holding me back. I have fulfilled my task and my duty in trying to persuade them to turn to Allah. But they are an obstacle between me and my Allah. Disconnect yourself, disassociate yourself, distance yourself from all things that are preventing you from connecting yourself to Allah, and really you will then experience a whole new world out there. Ya ibn Adam tafarraq li ibadati amla sadrak ghinan wa asudd faqrak. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that, O ibn Adam, O insan, free yourself from my worship, tafarraq, make the time to worship me. Make the time. How often we hear people saying, I can't find the time. It's not about finding the time. You're never going to find the time. You will always have engagements. You will always have commitments. It's tafarrah. Make the time. Allah says, make the time. Make the time for my ibadah. I will fill your heart with contentment. Amla sadraka ghinan. Al-ghina ghina nafs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, True wealth is the contentment of the heart. أملأ صدرك غنى وأسد فقرك. I will liberate you, I will release you from your unfortunate state of need and want. وإلا تفعل, and if you do not do this, you cannot find the time, you don't make the time for my ibadah, for my worship, I do not feature on your daily schedule. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ملأت يديك شغلة. I will fill your hands with work. One meeting to another meeting. Hopping from one commitment to another commitment. One worldly pursuit to another. One engagement to another. And guess what? Allah says, وَلَمْ أَسُدَّ فَقْرَكَ. But you'll always remain in a state of need and want. You'll always remain dissatisfied. So the first kalima, the first challenge that Ibrahim alayhi salam was faced with is a challenge that confronts every one of us in some way or the other. Of course, Ibrahim alayhi salam had to deal with it at a much higher level. But we all have certain elements, certain worldly distractions in our lives that are holding us back, that are preventing us from connecting ourselves to Allah. And Allah wants you to connect with Him, not simply worship Him, but to connect with Him through the various acts of worship. The different ibadat, the different modes of worship, the different forms of worship are all means of connecting ourselves to Allah. It's not the objective. Allah is the objective. Salah is the vehicle that gets you to Allah. Fasting is the vehicle. So Allah, there's an objective that we have in life. There's a purpose that we have in life, and that is to reach Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us multiple avenues and different channels via which we can reach Allah, and those are the different ibadat, the different acts of worship. Every sajda is a means of connecting yourself with Allah. أقرب ما يكون العبد إلى ربي وهو ساجد. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith, the closest you can come to Allah in this world, the closest you will get to Allah in this world is when your forehead is on the ground in prostration before Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullahu ta'ala anhu, he writes, اعلم أنك لن تجد أحن من الله عليك. He says, understand this and believe it. You will not find anyone who loves you more than Allah. لو يعلم ساجد ما يخشاه من الرحمة بسجوده لما رفع رأسه من سجوده. He says that if you only knew the extent of Allah's mercy, the level of Allah's mercy that descends upon you when you are in sujood before Allah, you would never want to lift your head up from sajda. And Allah gives us that opportunity to be so near to Him, to be really, really close to Him, to be really near to Him, to enjoy His rahmah innumerable amount of times on a daily basis. يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقْ وَيُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ خاشعة أبصارهم ترهقهم ذلة وقد كانوا يدعون إلى السجود وهم سالمون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on the day of Qiyamah, there will be a group of people We will all be instructed and commanded by Allah to fall in sajda before Allah, in prostration before Allah. But there will be a group of people who will want to, really would love to, and who desire to fall in sajda before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they will be unable to do so. In fact, their backs will become stiff like iron rods and they will fall over backwards. فَلَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says their gazes will be fixed to the ground out of embarrassment. تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةً Embarrassment plastered all over their faces in a state of shame. وَقَدْ كَانُوا يُدْعَوْنَ إِلَى السُّجُودِ وَهُمْ سَالِمُونَ Allah says these were those people who were called to sujood when they were fit and healthy and they had the time and they had the strength and they had the energy and they had the facilities and they had everything. They were called to sujood, to prostrate before Allah in the world, but they refused to do so. Ibrahim At-Taymi, Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahimahumullah ta'ala, and other great scholars of tafsir and sahaba, they maintain the view that this warning refers to those alladhi yasma'u al-munadi ila salati al-maktubah falam yujib. Refers to the one who in this world heard the muadzin calling out to salam. He heard the muadzin calling out to salah, but he did not respond to the muadzin by coming to the masjid for salah. So we have not understood this. Yes, on the one hand, your salah, your fast, your zakah, your hajj are all obligations and duties that must be fulfilled. This aspect we have understood. But what we have failed to realize is that every one of these commandments are a means of connecting us with Allah. And until we do not realize this, we will never achieve the desired outcome. Because we have chosen to confine the different commandments of Allah to obligations and duties and nothing more than that. Brothers, the underlying objective of every act of worship is to develop taqwa. There's more to your salah. There's more to your salah than just the movement from one posture to the other. There's more to the tilawah, to the recitation of the Qur'an, than just the turning of the pages. In fact, the word tilawah, if we study the word tilawah, which is translated in Arabic as recitation, which of course doesn't do justice to the translation of tilawah. If you study the root letters of tilawah, الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ It comes from tilwun, til, ta, ta, lam, waw, til. Til is translated in the Arabic language as الواحد يتبع الآخر. One thing following the next. One thing that comes after the next. So you have a chain of events or a sequence of events and one follows the other. This is called tilwun. And from tilwun you have tilawa. Now what is the relation between the real meaning, the root meaning of tilawa and recitation of the Quran? Because in tilawa of the Quran, in the recitation of the Quran, what should happen? It starts with the observation of the divine letters. Observing it with the eyes, pronouncing it with the tongue, followed by the movement of the lips, followed by contemplation with the mind, followed by reflection with the heart, followed by the swelling of tears in the eyes, and followed by the shaking of the body. That is tilawa. To read the Quran with feeling, to read the Quran with emotions. Salih al-Mari, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. In the dream, I dreamt that I had recited the entire Quran before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I completed the recitation and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to me and he said, Ya Salih, هذه القراءة فأين البكاء؟ صالح, you have recited well, but where are the tears? Once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated in al-Masjid al-Haram and he was reading the verses غافر الذنب قابل التوب شديد العقاب للطول لا إله إلا and the preceding verses. One of the enemies of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, happened to pass by. And he was known for his eloquence in his poetry. And he was a chieftain from amongst the Quraysh. And when he heard this recitation of the Quran, really he was just mesmerized by the charming eloquence and the deep meaning and the sequence of the words of the Quran. And he stood uncontrollably, he just stopped dead in his tracks to listen to the recitation of the Quran. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam realized that he's listening. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated these verses for a second time. And eventually he met up with Abu Jahl and his other friends. And when he met up with them, he says, Wallahi inni sami'tu Muhammadan al-ana, sami'tu Muhammadan yaqra'u kalaman anifan ma huwa min kalamin ins, wala min kalamin jinn, wa inna lahu la halawa, wa inna alayhi la talawa, wa inna a'lahu la muthmir, wa inna asfalahu la mughdiq, wa innahu la ya'lu wa la yu'la alayhi. What did he say? He says, I heard Muhammad reciting certain words. And wallahi, these are words that were not spoken by any man. They are words that were not spoken by a jinn. He says, and these words, they have a unique sweetness to it. And they have a charming to it. They have this charming effect to it. They had me mesmerized. This is an enemy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who was moved by the Quran. And then he describes the Quran as an orchard. He says, if you look at it, إِنَّ أَعْلَاهُ لَمُثْمِرِ It's like this beautiful orchard, the upper part of which gives you sweet, fresh fruit. The lower part of the orchard has running streams of sweet, fresh water. You know, the problem with us today is we don't want to step into that orchard. We are just standing from the outside and, wow, and we are, you know, just, what a recitation and what a talk on the Quran. And it stops there. It's about time you step into that orchard and enjoy the fruits and drink of that fresh water so that when you read the Quran, you are moved by the kalam of your Allah. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu left his home with a heart filled with hatred for the Quran, with a heart filled with hatred for the one who introduced the Quran to the universe, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the recitation of few verses of the Quran completely moved Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu to the point where he became one of those who were responsible for the preservation of the Quran. So there's more to your recitation of the Quran than just turning pages. There's more to the circumambulation of Baytullah than just, you know, the circumambulation. We were saying that the underlying objective of every act of worship is to develop taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly explains this when He obligated fasting upon us. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ Fasting leads to taqwa. When discussing Hajj, Allah yet again emphasizes the underlying objective. وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّارِ التَّقْوَى The best provision is that of taqwa. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of qurbani, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes the underlying objective. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ The taqwa that rests in your heart is what impresses Allah. And what is taqwa? Taqwa is all about connecting yourself with Allah. But first you need to disconnect yourself from what is holding you back. Ibrahim alayhi salam, coming back to the lesson from Ibrahim alayhi salam, that was his challenge. That he understood, these people are holding me back. Sometimes it could be in the form of social media. Sometimes it could be in the form of your career. Sometimes it could be in the form of your profession. What is it that's eating my Allah time? Sometimes it's jam time. You know, I met a youngster recently just before the Maghrib Salah, and I told him, please join me to the masjid, let us go for Maghrib. He says, what time is Maghrib? Well, it wasn't recently, it was some time back. And he told me, what time is Maghrib? And I said, Maghrib is about 6. He said, no way, 6 to 8, that's my jam time. So what is it? What's that element in my life? What is it? I need to analyze my life, identify the distraction, what is it that's holding me back, let go of it. And wallahi, you will enjoy a world unimaginable. What satisfaction you'll enjoy, what contentment you'll enjoy in this world, and imagine what else you'll enjoy in the Akhirah. Sometimes that hindrance, that obstacle that's holding you back is in the form of a person. She is there every day you walk into your office. She is there ever willing to share a conversation with you on social media. You dress up before heading to campus to impress her, to draw her attention towards yourself. My brother, she is holding you back and you are holding her back. She is the obstacle between you and Allah. And you are the obstacle between her and her Allah. You need to disconnect yourself from her physically and emotionally in order to connect yourself with Allah spiritually. The first calamity that a person is struck with when he engages in an extramarital relationship, when he engages in zina, when he cheats on his wife, whether it's a platonic relationship or not, the first thing that's snatched away from this person is sakina. He's engaged in the sin of zina, an extramarital relationship, an illicit relationship. Allah deprives him. The first thing that happens to him is he lives a restless life. That sakina is taken away from him. Why is it so? Because Allah has, over and above these three avenues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with different avenues from which we can acquire sakina. What is sakina? Sakina is that inner tranquility, that contentment, that peace of mind, the satisfaction of the heart that you experience, regardless of the outward circumstances, whether favorable or unfavorable. That is sakina. Every one of us needs sakina in our lives. It's not the name of a woman, sakina. The first avenue and channel of sakina is Allah Himself. هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ السَّكِينَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ Allah plants sakina in the heart of the believers. Now when you engage in an illicit extramarital relationship, what are you doing? You are severing that first channel of sakina. The second channel and source of sakina is your wife. لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا Allah says your wife is a source of sakina. By cheating on her, by engaging in an extramarital illicit relationship, you have now severed that channel of sakina. The third source of sakina is your children. رَبَّنَا هَبْلَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُن Make my children قُرَّةَ أَعْيُن a source of comfort. You will no longer find comfort in your children by cheating on their mother. So that's the first thing that happens to you when you engage in an extramarital relationship, an illicit relationship. Allah takes away that sakina. The person is left restless. So this could be one obstacle in my life. That obstacle between you and Allah, the thing that's holding you back, could be in the form of drugs. That joint, that crack, that weed, that cocaine. Really, it pollutes the spiritual self. It destroys your physical abilities. It wrecks your mental state. And this is that time of the year when these substances are readily available for our youth to just go out and devour it. It may not be all that easy to give up, but it's not impossible. Turn to Allah. Turn to Allah. Seek professional help. Disassociate yourself. The theme of today's talk is disassociating myself from what is holding me back and then connecting with Allah. Disassociate yourself from that company that promotes substance abuse and associate with the good. There are good people out there. There are righteous people out there. فَدْخُلِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُلِي جَنَّتِي Allah says, you want to get to paradise? You need to go through my ibad, through the righteous servants. Through the good Muslims out there, through them will you be able to tread the path that leads to Jannah, that leads to paradise. And who are the ibad of Allah? وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَشْهَدُونَ الزُّورِ They are those who do not attend music concerts. They do not attend dance parties. They do not attend liquor drinking events. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِاللَّغْوِ مَرُّوا كِرَامًا And by chance, if they happen to pass by such an event, without any inclination towards it, they just walk away from there. So they're not going to invite you to music concerts. They are not going to invite you to dens of vice. They are not going to ask you to participate in any shameful act. In fact, They will invite you to what Allah invites you. They will call you to what Allah calls you. What does Allah invite you to? Wallahu yad'u ila al-jannah wal maghfirah bi'idhni. Allah wants you to go to Jannah. Allah has prepared Jannah for you and I. That's what Allah wants for you. Allah is inviting you to Jannah. Allah is inviting you to His maghfirah, to His mercy, to His love and to His compassion. That obstacle could be in the form of pornography. Brothers, porn is a serious problem faced by many today, especially the Muslims of today. Pornography, viewing pornographic material kills the heart, it kills the soul. A porn addict is dead. How can a dead heart ever establish connection with Allah? Pornography is such a shameful act, you would not want anyone to learn of that dirty secret. Then why do you watch that filth while Allah, your creator, your nourisher, your master is watching over you? يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. Allah says they hide. He hides from his wife, he's hiding from his children, he's hiding from his parents, he's hiding from members of the community. Where's Allah? You can never hide from Allah. إِذَا خَلَوْتَ بِرِيبَةٍ فِي ظُلْمَةٍ وَالنَّفْسُ دَاعِيَةٌ إِلَى الطُّغْيَانِ فَاسْتَحْيِ مِن نَظْرِ الْإِلَهِ وَقُلْ لَهَا إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. When you go into that dark spot, that dark place, and you feel that this darkness has concealed me, and it hides me from the gaze of people, and your fingers are itching, and you want to do it, you want to go ahead, and you want to smoke that joint, or sniff that substance, or you want to go onto that website and you want to make that call. You want to do it. Everything around you is telling you, just do it. It's that time of the year where the youth are told, just go ahead and do it. Go wild. You've matriculated. Go party. Go wild. Everything is telling you, just do it. At that point, address your nafs that's urging you on and prompting you on and tell your nafs, إِنَّ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الظَّلَامَ يَرَانِي. The one who created this darkness, which is shielding me from the gaze of mankind, the one who created this darkness is watching me. Those nude videos, that shameful images, those websites, they are holding you back. They're not only holding you back, but they are taking you further and further away from Allah. Ya ayyuha al-insan, ma gharraka bi rabbika al-kareem. Allah says, oh insan, what is driving you away from Allah? Think, what is it? What is it that's holding me back? What is it that's driving you away from Allah, who is most kind, loving and compassionate? Allah is not some God of wrath or a Lord of terror. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Allam al-Quran. Ar-Rahman, Al-Arsh, Istawa. Wa-Rabbuna Ar-Rahman, Al-Musta'an. Allah introduces Himself to the world as Ar-Rahman. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman. And you will not find an adjective in the Arabic language or in any other language that expresses such a profound and such an extreme level of love, compassion and mercy than the word Ar-Rahman. Brothers, if you want to know what position you enjoy in the sight of Allah, you only need to see what position you give Allah in your life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.